Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Flipped, flopped, mipped, morped. Flipped, flopped, mippity mop, mippa bip, flip, dip, dip, tippitana, tip, tip, flippity, mip, map, mop, padop. Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall. G'day to yez all.
Chuck a bungaree down your woolamaloo.
Woolamaloo hole.
Yeah.
You did it, Andy. We've entered another episode.
We have found ourselves here inside another episode, and boy, the view is great. I wish you could see it.
We use the portal of music to get us in here. That's how we travel in. I guess that's the conceit of the show.
Yeah.
This is the tank.
If we were to explain it.
I guess the tank is, I guess, the subconscious.
I think that if it is another realm, I'm loath to specify.
Okay, great. But it's
a realm. It's definitely a realm.
Yes, it's a realm that
one can access.
That one can access through creativity.
And the passcode or the phrase to enter the realm. Changes. It's like one of those constantly updated passwords. It changes to whatever it is that you just said. So while there is a code, you always get it right.
Wow, that's nice. Yeah. But do you think someone else could enter it if let's say two people took over from us, or three? Let's say you and I both perished.
Okay.
And our three eldest children took over.
Great.
Do you think they could just bippity bop pity boop and then get back in?
I should hope so. I saw my son. He was bipping and bopping the other day, actually. Put him in a little box, cut a hole in a box.
Yeah.
And to make him look like a robot, put it over his head, you know?
Oh, you did that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
And I was like I was showing him, like, you go sort of beep, boop, boop. And he went beep, boop. And then he got really upset. And we haven't done it again since.
Yeah, right. Do you think it was because of the bop? Because that's the bop that he kind of avoided.
I think he was one of those super advanced robots that really quickly achieves sort of sentience and realizes the futility of existence. And so, I sort of programmed him to feel disillusionment or something along those lines. I feel.
Here's the thing that I've noticed in sort of a lot of films, a lot of science fiction even, where... You know, you'll have these beings that are that are greater than humanity in many ways, right? Alien species that have logic and strength and robots that have unbelievable computational power and strength, things like that, right? And so we can't really beat them using conventional means. But the way in which we win is because we have flaws in the spirit of humanity, you know, our humanity.
Yeah, it's the humanity that allows us, you know, we come together, we rally together, you know, very often.
And we sing a song.
Sometimes we hold hands, it's like dust rains down sometimes. And then we blow up their mothership because even though they have traveled the length of the universe to get here at impossible speeds and defeated all the world's armies in a fraction of a second.
Yeah.
They still, for some reason, haven't decentralized any of their control systems.
Yeah.
And everything shuts down. Everything sort of goes... makes that noise. Amazing that all alien species use that noise.
Yeah, well, I guess it's like the way that, I guess, evolution has works on multiple planets in different parts of the galaxy.
Convergent.
Life just eventually arises, right? It's not a sometimes thing.
Yep.
It's just an eventual thing.
Yep.
Right? Much in that same way, another eventuality is that when you shut down, you go...
It's a universal constant of some kind. Mm-hmm. It's programmed into the fabric of reality. You could probably derive that sound just using an equation and the gravitational constant and maybe the permittivity of a vacuum.
Great. As permittivity means how...
How willing it is to go with things when it's had a couple of beers, you know? And it loosens up and it's happy to just have a good time, you know?
Well, then we should be throwing a few more beers into space.
Okay.
Instead of, like, pouring one down on the ground for your homies.
Have we tried to get space drunk? You know, at the moment it seems very cold and sort of unforgiving, you know. Maybe it just needs to loosen up a little bit, you know, lose some of the whatever it is that it's got going on.
Yeah.
Have a good time at the office party. It's one of those bosses up there who's sort of always looming over us.
Yeah.
You know, makes us feel small.
Mm-hmm.
Insignificant, doesn't seem to have much of a sense of humor, sound like anyone.
Yeah.
Space.
Emptiness is space. And it's crazy that space makes us feel insignificant because
it's nothing.
It's almost literally nothing.
Yes.
And then, so, I mean.
And here we are, something.
Yeah, we're something.
And we're letting this nothing up there.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that they've got a lot of nothing.
Yeah.
But whereas we have a little bit of something, but our ratio of something to nothing is excellent. Really, it's our humanity that beats space, you know? Our humanity being having a good something to nothing ratio.
The something to nothing ratio.
Compared
to the STN ratio. Yeah.
And that's the basis for a lot of science fiction and, you know, like just feeling good. It's about finding one way in which you're better than the other thing that is your enemy.
Mm-hmm. That could be part of the big speech at the end that we give to sort of make everyone hold hands while Ash falls down.
Ash from space?
You know, whatever it is, whatever kind of battle that's taken place between us and space.
Us and space.
Yeah. It wasn't aliens from space. It was just space.
Yeah. I mean, that could happen, let's say, if our atmosphere maybe starts blowing away.
Gets stripped away, yeah.
Wouldn't that happen?
I mean, we've got a real film on our hands here. The atmosphere's being stripped away. All this space is coming down. Then it turns out that space is allergic to the common cold.
That'd be good, actually.
Allergic.
I guess it's allergic in that where the common cold is, there's something.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And space really needs to be nothing.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that black holes have the highest something to nothing ratio?
Yeah.
I think we've got to get this up as some kind of theory. I feel there's a Nobel Prize in it. I know I always...
The something to nothing ratio?
Yeah,
no, I'm with you. I mean, it's probably just density.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's great because we can do one of those... get one of those big machines like the Large Hadron Collider they got in Switzerland, right? Because they're always trying to find stuff and then sometimes they don't find stuff, right? And that's real disappointing.
Yeah.
But for us, because we're just talking about something or nothing, whether we find something or we don't find anything at all, we win. It all feeds into the theory.
Yeah.
Something, nothing.
That's what we're always just trying to find something and nothing.
Or nothing, yeah.
And then we can give the something nothing value of our own results.
Because we've got some results, and sometimes we don't.
Yeah, and then this seems like a theory that could unify all other theories.
It could,
or at least unify its own theory.
Well, one thing that we've noticed about all theories is that they all exist.
Yes.
Right, and that puts them into the something category.
Yes, absolutely.
So that is a real unifier. That's a commonality. To all these theories.
Absolutely.
I don't know if anyone's looked into this.
Yeah. But also...
They are.
But there's also, you could hypothesize that there are other theories somewhere out there that don't exist.
Yes.
Right? So there's nothing.
Now, I wonder how many of those there are. Because that's going to be crucial to the ratio.
Mm.
Or is that just one nothing?
I think there's got to be one nothing for every
everything that doesn't exist.
Yeah. But in order for it to not exist, it kind of does have to have, you have to kind of name it, which gives it a something.
And that's really going to pad out the report as well. Because as I understand, a lot of the PhD stuff is to do with the word count. Like it just has to be really long.
Bulky.
I'm serious. Why do all PhDs, people who do PhDs, they seem to take ages and they seem to be really long.
Mm.
I'm convinced
Yep.
That can't be the case. Can't you do a short one? Surely a short one is better. Like, if you can summarize it all, get it out in a page or two.
Yeah. Well, maybe you could write a big area, big chunk that just explains why your PhD is so short, and that'll pad it out a little bit.
If that's what they need,
because they might lift it up. But then they'll come back
to me with some inconsistencies. They'll say that your report is really long, but I can't help but notice your report says it's really short, and then I'm gonna have to do a bloody rewrite.
You know? No, but that'll be part of, that's another contradiction. You'll be able to write that out.
Write that out.
Yeah.
Now it's getting interesting,
now you're
isn't
getting
it?
Some, now you're getting some word count. Get some words on that page.
Can we do something with a something to nothing ratio?
Yeah.
Or can we do nothing with that? I mean, I don't, it's still pretty vague, you know? But that's the way I like my science.
Yeah.
You know? Vague. Easily disproved. Teetering on a precipice based entirely on ignorance.
Should we say, look, I don't know where we can, you know, let's go take a note of something, because I
wonder if there's such a thing as ignorance studies. If there isn't, chair of ignorance studies.
I like that a lot, Andy.
Thanks.
Yeah, it just tickles me in the right way. Because sometimes people tickle you and they get their fingers right in the bones.
Mm.
Right in the, like, it's too hard in the bones and in between the ribs.
Yeah.
That's tickling you in the
wrong
way.
Oh, that's the wrong way, yeah.
No.
This is just lightly brushing you.
Lightly brushing.
Close enough to like a pretty private, sexy area.
Yeah.
But not like, too close.
Like the underarms?
The underarms. hello.
Hello.
Yep.
I'd like to get damp in there. Because it's because of the sweat.
Oh, I love to sweat.
Yeah.
But just from my underarms.
Sounds like a song.
People who love to sweat, they say they love to sweat. They're talking about a specific type of sweat. They're not talking about, you know, the sort of stress sweats that you get before like a job interview when you've just realized you massively misinterpreted one of the questions that you're supposed to prepare or something. And just that stink just drops out of you.
Yeah. When you feel actual drops coming off of your pit.
Yeah.
Or like sort of liquid flowing down your back, down the crack of your ass.
Oh, yeah. Alistair, this is all too real.
Yeah.
This is far too real. This is like every day of my teaching career. Just
really?
These children, they know nothing. And even they are going to cotton onto the fact that I wasn't prepared for this lesson.
Did they ever?
Oh, I'm sure they did. Some of them were very smart.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Too smart for their own good, do you think?
Certainly too smart for my good.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Isn't that? I mean, and I'm the teacher. And I've got to feel confident if I'm going to teach them well. So they should, you know.
They should dumb it down a little bit. At least pretend.
I wish they could. Can't you just try and pretend that this is helping you in some way that I have anything to offer?
Hey, I had an idea before.
Yeah.
So in this movie where the atmosphere is getting stripped away, possibly because of solar wind.
Solar.
Do you think it could be because of solar wind?
Yeah, I reckon it could have something to do with that.
Strip it away. So what would we actually do if that was happening, right? What you would have to do, right, is quite in a rush.
I think whatever we end up doing to fix climate change or whatever it's going to be, I've realized in the last couple of weeks, I'm going to be like, fuck, we're going to rush this. When it finally is like, oh, wow, things are becoming exponentially worse by the week.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to rush a solution.
Yeah.
And we are not going to have thought it through.
We should think these rushed solutions through.
There's not going to be time. It really will be like, we are going to just load, we don't have time, we're just going to load all the chemicals that we know of into a really big plane and start flying it up, and we'll work out which ones we dump into the sky
when we're up
on
there.
The way. I see, you know, because it'll be, the temperature is rising that fast, we just got to get this plane off the ground, because soon the atmosphere will be so thin the plane won't even be able to take off. That's how close we've left it to the deadline. If the atmosphere was thin, the Earth would be cooling. Oh, that'd be great. Maybe we just need to thin the atmosphere.
Not if it was thin with, you know, like just methane or something like that.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
It's just methane and carbon dioxide, real thin.
Yeah, when all those like permafrost things happen in Russia or whatever like that, they all defrost and let all that gas out.
I don't think we're thinking about that enough.
Yeah, well, every time there's an article, it keeps saying, like, scientists are finding that it's, everything's speeding up. It's like it's getting hotter at a rate quicker than we expected. Mm. And he's just shut down, gone into his worried phase.
I think about it so much, and yeah. I think about the fact that I've brought three children into this world.
Andy.
Children who are, A, and I'm not blaming them, mm-hmm. but they are making the problem worse just by existing.
Yep.
Right?
And it's their fault. And they are doing it.
And they are taking up time that I could have put into, I don't know, activism or something. I probably could have solved all of this by now.
Do you think you would have?
There's a good chance. There's a chance. A good chance.
Yeah, there you go.
Right? And also, you know, they're gonna grow up in an awful wasteland.
I think we'll be the last to go just because we're in one of the least dense countries. We're one of the countries that has the highest something-to-nothing ratios.
No, we've got one of the highest nothing-to-something ratios.
Yeah, nothing-to-something ratios. Mm. Yeah, so we're lucky in that regard. And we're also in one of the, in terms of money, highest something-to-nothing ratios.
Sure, sure.
Which will allow us to buffer it and then be able to watch it on YouTube.
That is absolutely not going to happen, Alistair, because as soon as things get bad enough, mm-hmm. any of the populated places in the world who also all have a much higher military to things to lose ratio,
yeah,
right, that we are just going to be overrun. Anyone who thinks they can outdo this in some way, outlast this,
yeah,
is kidding themselves.
No. I'm not trying to outlast it.
No, I'm trying
to just, like, you know, we can only be better than the people next to us.
Absolutely. And that will only be the case for at most a week.
I know.
Before they all come here and they are real hungry.
The way you win.
And thirsty.
All you got to be, you know, you don't have to win by much. You only have to win by a couple extra seconds. If you fade away a few seconds.
That's true. So we're going to say the real, it doesn't matter if you win, cling to life by a minute or by a week. Mm-hmm. Clinging to existence, that's what matters.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just trying to find that Vin Diesel quote from that Fast and the Furious movie.
That's what I was
movie.
Trying to do as well. Doesn't matter if you win by
a
an inch
meter
or by
a mile, yeah.
A meter or a mile. Yeah. He mixed
his conversion.
His metrics.
Metrics, conversion therapy.
His imperial. Anyway.
Imperial.
Units of measurement.
There you go. I think that there's something in there's a sketch in just watching the people last second, you know, cause like, you know, so, last second as the yeah. climate is collapsing and yeah. we realize it's becoming,
it's
an
gonna
almost
be gone
daily,
by the afternoon.
Like, yeah, it could be a week thing, but like, cause like we've had here this massive kind of like fish die off in one of our sort of main water bodies in Australia, in the Murray Darling.
Yeah.
And one of those things just feels like exactly the kind of thing that's just going to start happening a little bit more frequently.
Yeah.
You know, like, these are the kind of things that start appearing. Tick, it's like, tick, oh, this is the biggest one that's ever been recorded. Tick, 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 and then, like, one of those will happen, and there'll be a couple months will go by, and then it'll be like, oh, there's another one that's actually now this is the biggest one ever recorded.
I mean, it's going to be a great time to be a record keeper, don't you think?
Oh, they're living it up. They're living their best life.
It's what a golden age.
Yeah. And so now, and then as these things start occurring much quicker, we realize we're probably in the last week. We need to just change this straight away because now, like, all the cattle just drop dead.
And you know what I'm going to do as soon as that turns out? I'm going to have a big sleep because I know I'm terrible with deadlines. I'll try and pull an all-nighter and then I'll just be like, I'm not going to get anything done. I'm just going to have a good sleep.
Yeah.
In the morning, it'll be like 30 degrees hotter outside. The air conditioner will be sort of screaming.
Yeah. I mean, this idea of putting the sulfur dioxide, is that what it is? Something, some kind of sulfur thing in the air.
So we just start putting any sulfur in the air, any kind of sulfur.
What about
thing
putting nukes under every volcano?
Sure, nuclear winter. Nuclear and volcanic winter. Double it, double winter. And I love winter, more dressing options, layers.
Okay, so this is what my idea was for for when the atmosphere starts getting stripped away. Yeah. The only thing that we can really do as it starts to disappear, and these are people in the high altitude towns that'll first discover that this is happening,
yeah,
is that we have to create kind of like balloon-roofed areas, you know, where we can keep air inside of it and keep sort of recycling it. And that way, even if the atmosphere around us has been taken away, at least this is stuck under the balloon. We all become bubble boys.
Bubble boys.
Yeah, yeah. And girls.
Yep.
All right, everybody has to become a bubble person.
Yeah.
And then...
But it's okay because we're all in the same bubble.
Are we? No, I think we'll all be in different bubbles. Well, I guess some of us will be in
bubble.
Well, I mean, maybe eventually. And if we can make it work under one big bubble, maybe eventually we'll get people their own bubbles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it'll be real interesting time for farting.
You think so?
I think the politics of farting will be very interesting once we're all.
It'll get a bit more aggressive.
I think it'll be time finally for us to nail down some hard and fast rules.
Yeah.
Like in writing about. Farting.
Yeah.
When it's done, how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you've got to take yourself to the toilet as soon as you even feel like you need to do one fart.
So we're gonna allow farts. Do you think farts will be out in the area outside of the bubble?
Yeah.
Where you just like it's an outhouse, but you just have to hold your breath for the duration of going to the toilet.
It's an outhouse, but it's just for farts.
Well, okay.
Well, so we'll have a special toilet for farts.
Yeah, but it's out in the sort of no atmosphere area.
Yeah, it will be.
So you can't breathe out there.
No, but you wouldn't want to anyway.
Would you have a mouth bubble? Or do you think you just have to hold your breath?
I think just hold your breath. That's fine. Bit of peril, you know?
Yeah, a lot of peril even.
Sure. Tons.
Because, I mean, there's a chance that you might have to run back into the air area, the air bubble.
Yep.
Sort of without having completed.
Let's not call it the area, the air area. Let's just call it the area.
Area.
But we'll spell it A-I-R-I-A.
You know, you can't spell Alistair without A-I-R.
Really?
Alistair. That's where it comes from.
Fascinating.
Mm. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's the same thing with you.
Mm.
You can't
I can't spell Alistair without air either.
That's right, yeah. So I think maybe, and then eventually there won't be a kind of, we'll have to be kind of purifying the air within the bubble.
Yeah.
But then eventually I guess there'll be leakage and then we'll start losing the air. And then all around the bubble there will no longer be any air. We'll have to get all our air from the ground.
Ground air?
You know,
is there air in the ground?
If there's helium under there, there's got to be some air.
You'd hope.
You think? Like if there's helium, something that's very non-abundant in Earth, on this Earth. Under there somewhere, there must just be pockets of just good, clean, breathing air.
Well, even if there's not that, right, what there will be is lots of ores, which are almost always oxides, right? Iron oxide. Mm. So there'll be oxygen in that.
So you'll
we just have to, I don't know, burn that somehow, burn coal and
burn
get that out.
Get the oxygen to
turn.
Well,
this is the other thing. I'm sorry this is such a depressing environmental episode, but as things get worse and worse, when things get worse, people don't behave better. Right? When the world gets worse, people aren't going to be like, well, I better give a real considered action to this. People will be like, what can I fucking burn to survive? What more additional way can I destroy the planet in order to make it through the week? I know that's what I'm like when I'm stressed or when things are going bad. Sure, it's just like, you just throw everything.
Sure, but
there
then
are no
again.
Rules, and things will just get worse and we'll make them worse faster as well.
But burning really is just the fusing of oxygen with other atoms. So it's really taking a lot of the oxygen out of the air.
Yep. I mean, that's the thing. We're not thinking it through.
Well, I'm thinking it through.
Okay. Thank God.
But when you mentioned the farting politics and that's going to become a little bit more high stakes, I think everything's going to become a little bit more high stakes because we're living in a bubble and there's no atmosphere.
Yeah.
So I think maybe it'll be kind of interesting. Maybe it's just one of those movies that's set over 3 days when we've just kind of, essentially under a carport.
Yeah.
We've got the last bit of air that we've got for the next
little
3 days. Yeah, little
pocket
air.
People.
Sort of like, you know, like an upturned boat.
Yeah.
An upturned boat where we're just hanging out in there and there's eventually going to run out of air, but there's no place for us to go.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually we're all just going to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the time we're just spending
When you put it that way, it doesn't sound so bad.
I know, but Andy, we're going to fade away one day, and our children will take over our podcast, you know, but it will just be like going to sleep. I watched a video, and it was probably one of the best videos I've ever watched, this lady that just described exactly the process of dying, where you just kind of, you know, at some point you could just kind of start like fading into unconsciousness for a little bit, and you kind of come back out, and then this is like people dying in bed, but like, and then that thing where people like talk about, like where you, people start getting that the death rattle, that kind of thing. That's just when at some point you're so relaxed that you don't even bother swallowing the spit in the back of your throat. So you just kind of...
Yeah.
I sound like that every night, by the way.
But you, like actually, that. Alistair, that's one of the most comforting things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And I love it. You you go out relaxed. You relax your way out of existence.
Oh, it's going to be very relaxing. Unless you're in a horrible pain. The first thing
you
relax
is your standards, because you shit yourself and you don't care.
Yeah, I like that.
I hope the standards go early.
What about like, so you know, like a place? So you can go to places where you can experience like, you know, some other culture. So let's say you go to a Thai restaurant. It's like going to Thailand and getting to experience what it's exactly like to eat like that. In a Thai person's house.
Yes.
Like that, right?
Or it's you go to a roller coaster and you get to experience what it's like to be on a roller coaster.
Yeah, exactly. So how about this place where you go there and it's like a fake hospice, right?
Oh,
and it's over 2 days.
Yes.
Right? You show up there and people will treat you like you're dying.
Oh.
and then you lay there and they'll have somebody come and give you your last rites and things like that. And people will come to you and they'll say some nice things and you guys will cry and things like that. And
are these people that you actually know, or are they all just actors employed by the place?
They can be people that you know. They could be your family members.
But they might not be as convincing as the people employed by the place. They do this a lot and they're very good.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess you fill out a bit of a survey beforehand. Well, or something.
Your family has never been good at play acting.
And they probably put something in your eyes so they're all blurry and you can't really make stuff out.
Yeah, and they're probably just like they probably just put a gas around you so that you are starting to kind of feel.
Yeah.
No, but you kind of want to feel like you want to be. So then, and then at one point they basically instruct you. You're kind of pretty close to. They instruct you to shit yourself. Because like, there's something so freeing.
And it is free. This is it.
Mm.
In life, you get one free shit yourself.
Except right? for all those ones when you're a baby. Yeah.
That's it.
One free adult shit yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You get to do, like, I reckon you get to have so many when you're a kid and then you don't get any more.
Yeah.
Right? And then you just, God says, go on, have one, just last one for old times.
Yeah.
You shit yourself and you're out of there.
Mm.
No, you don't have to deal with anything.
Now, obviously, this is in really bad taste, right? Do you think?
Oh, okay.
But I think it would be really like therapeutic for people. And so then you get to shit yourself and then at some point you die, right? So you just pretend everybody, you know, around you gets pretty serious because they kind of have to, even if on the inside they're kind of like, oh, I'm thinking about something funny.
Doctor comes and takes someone away.
Yeah. You know. And so then they take your body and they go clean it.
You're still going through all of this.
Wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't that be good? And then they wrap you in something, maybe.
I mean, sure.
I mean, like, isn't there something?
I feel like we're losing some of the value of the experience now, because, like, there is the argument to be made that it's good to experience what death is like so you can be more empathetic to people who are going through it. But, like, you don't really need to empathize with corpses about what it's like to be wiped or wrapped in something or whatever.
I know, but I think there's comfort in knowing how you're going to be taken care of after you die.
I could not give.
I know, but also it'd just be nice to be clean.
Oh, sure, it'd be nice to be clean, especially after you shit yourself. You don't want to have to do that.
Yeah.
The whole point was that there wouldn't be any consequences to shitting yourself.
Exactly.
No, I'm with you now.
Yeah. And also, while you're on your deathbed, you can say whatever you want.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that would be really therapeutic.
Yeah.
Say to the people around you, one person who's pretending to be your kid, and one person who's pretending to be your mom.
I think it is better then that they're not actually your relatives, because then you really can just go to town.
Let it go. Yeah. Let it all out.
Great.
Yeah. And then, I don't know. So I think it's a sketch where, you walk through that idea and people can say whatever they want.
People do rebirthing. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing rebirthing ceremonies, as far as I understand. It's still very much the early 80s.
And this would be a great thing for sort of born again Christians who actually now want to leave.
Yeah.
Leave Christianity again.
Dead again Christians.
Dead again Christian.
Dead already. Pre-deathing.
Yeah.
Yeah, pre-death. Yeah.
Pre-death.
I love it.
So, death experience.
Yep. Pre-more. Yeah.
500 pre-more. Bucks. What do you think?
Morgue.
500 bucks, 600 bucks. People pay
I think it's got to be at least a grand.
Yeah, 1,000.
Yeah, because we want pretty good actors as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's a lot of people. I guess you would have multiple rooms so people can go from room to room.
Oh, the actors?
I'm just trying to think of the business model.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, this is basically like that thing that our friend Neil was acting in where he was like a zombie who was attacking, you know, it was one of those role play things. So he was a zombie.
People would come in with guns. People would come with
guns, that sort of thing. But like the zombie is the inevitability of death.
Well, it's
the gun is blank acceptance.
Well, I think it's exactly...
The lasers are shitting yourself.
I think it's the exact opposite of that thing. So that the actors in this one are the only ones that are alive.
Yes.
Right? And then the person paying is the one trying to be the person alive.
Yeah.
In the zombie one. But everybody else is dead.
Great. Well explained. I definitely followed that.
Yeah, great.
I mean, it might have made total sense, but it just seemed like a jumble of concepts. But I still knew what you were trying to say.
Oh, you're going to feel bad when you go back and listen to this. And then you're going to be like, well, I sound like a real jerk. Actually, what happened was I just wasn't paying attention for a second. I was thinking about something
absolutely. That you could be right, Al. Oh, you probably are. You are right. You are right. I was not paying attention.
Wait, are you doing this so that I feel bad when I'm listening back?
No. There's no agenda. I wasn't paying attention. And you made perfect sense.
Are you weaponizing apologizing?
No. I'm completely open.
Yeah.
And I want to feel everything. I'll take this all into myself. Yeah. And I will deal with all of this internally. And I want you to know that you were right about everything.
Andy, I want to say that upon reflection, that maybe I wasn't as clear as I could be.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
You know, I mean, I did witness myself say some things that, you know, the sentences may not have flowed as well as they could have. And I was talking about the zombie place and then talking about the hospice place. And
I'm still open, by the way. I'm still so vulnerable. And here you are.
Well,
pulling the apology back out of me while I'm here.
Andy.
I was sitting with that.
I think I'm being as fair as I can be by admitting my own failures.
You're very aggressively hoarding all the guilt. that I had taken. I had harvested the guilt from the scenario.
Yeah.
And I had it all bundled up here.
And you'd really given it to me as a gift, the guilt-freeness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now you're throwing that away and also tearing the guilt out of me.
The greatest gift of all is to throw away someone else's gift.
You know what? That's basically the message of Marie Kondo, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
I don't know much about it, but since we've been trying to do a bit of that at our place, we've thrown away a lot of gifts.
Yeah.
It turns out that people who buy things for you don't really know what you want as much as you do.
But turns out, with the amount of things that you also throw away that are yours, turns out you also don't know yourself all that
well. That is also true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know mostly in my life, I've thrown away things that I've bought.
Yeah, but I don't have to feel bad about throwing away. That's what, when somebody gives, this is why it's better to give than to receive, right? Because when you give somebody something, you know that you are also giving them the guilt of one day having to throw that thing away, having only half remembered whether or not they ever, like, who even gave it to them, and feeling bad. Here you go. Feel guilty about this.
It's better to give than to receive is good because when you give, you don't have to put any thought into it whatsoever.
You don't have to find a place to put it.
No, all you have to do is on your way to the person's house, you stop by whatever shop is on the way.
Whatever shop.
And you look for something that looks like a gift.
Chemists have got a lot of knickknacks these days. Mm-hmm. And some of them are kind of like quite passably, like potentially thoughtful. A lot of them are that kind of pastel color, that light pastel-y color.
That's right. That's a thoughtful color.
That's a thoughtful color.
Mm.
You know, yeah. people, that goes with a lot of style these days.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very inoffensive.
And then receiving is to just get the garbage that people
just pick up
on the way to your house because they feel like they have to get you a gift.
Yeah. And then now what do we do with it? How long do we have to hold on to this? I don't care if you leave the price tag on it.
Mm.
I want you to put a little tag on the gift saying, how long I got to hold on to this thing until I can throw it away and not feel bad.
That's why I'm going to start giving people garbage bags. So that...
That is a gift.
Yeah. And then all they have to do is... I mean, they get the joy of putting it directly in the bin. While still using it for what it's intended to. But they could even put one in the bin to line the bin and then put the rest in the bin bag.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, this is not the type
I've got too many, bin bags.
Oh, you got the type that smells and it smells worse than garbage.
That is so true, though. Yeah. What is that smell?
It's pretty intense.
Almost, but no smell combined with garbage makes a good smell.
Uh-huh.
You can't come up with a smell that is going to...
Complement garbage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And make garbage transcend its garbosity.
I think there's a sketch in this.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Great.
So what do we? So what is it? We're the people inventing a garbage bag with the smell that complements garbage.
Yeah.
Or,
I think so.
Yeah.
Or, but also I do think there's something about giving the gift of garbage bags. Just, or like, because it's giving the gift of taking things out of your life. Give the gift of a big bin that you can just sweep all the other gifts into.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and, so nice.
And it's done. And then I'll administer a little drug into your neck so you'll forget you ever got them. And then you don't have to worry about it anymore. We were watching a documentary about minimalism the other day. Because this is what we do. And you look at these people who are all like full-on minimalists, right? And every single one of them is like... You see, their name and their profession comes up down the bottom of the screen, and every single one of them is like advertising executive, hedge fund manager, you know.
Yeah, you have to be so rich to not own any stuff.
Not that they're rich, but all their jobs are worthless and contribute nothing of value to society. Like, there's no one going on a minimalism documentary who's a nurse or...
Oh, yeah.
Like, all these people who actually... do something worthwhile.
Mm.
Don't feel that they have to like live this sparse lifestyle to feel okay about themselves.
Yeah.
No, it's you that is the garbage filling up your life. Kill yourself.
I think that's a really nice message, Andy. But I think...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think that they are the garbage
filling up all our lives.
I think can we, like, I know we were,
you are the garbage filling up your
life. Minimalists.
Be the garbage you don't want to see in the world. And throw yourself in a bin.
Look,
I'm sorry.
I've
worked with some advertising people and they were incredibly kind and lovely. But also, it is funny that all the people's job descriptions in digital marketing executive, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I think, look, Andy, this is already a perfect sketch. So, right. So it's...
Oh, Alistair.
So it opens up. It's somebody in a very minimal house. Minimal house, not a house. I apologize.
Sorry. Okay, sure. Drop the tea. Yeah, throw it in the bin.
That's right. They say something about... You know, it's just like a single statement that they make about the value of minimalism.
Yeah.
Or like about why they don't keep anything in their house. What's the kind of thing that they would have said in that documentary?
I just looked around at all the stuff that I had and I realized that I was working to find a house to keep all this stuff in, you know, and it was like I'd become a slave to the things in my life.
Mm-hmm. and then cut to another person, and they're like, when you have space in your house, you have space to think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And then another person, it cuts to them, and they go, you don't need to follow this, you know, consumerist belief. Mm. Every time you get something, you can get it away if it doesn't bring you any joy.
Mm. And then get it away. Great
Get it away. Get it away. Like that. And then it goes, minimalists. You are the garbage filling up your own life. You are the garbage filling up.
And then one by one, we cut back to them all as they climb into bins.
Yeah, great. See?
One of them feeds themselves into that garbage eating thing in the sink.
Oh, the...
Which we don't seem to have in Australia.
We had
but
one
But it's a very big plot point in American TV shows and movies and stuff.
Garbage disposal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a weird... Because does it go down... Does it? Because we had one, and I'm pretty sure we had one for a little bit
You had one?
In Tathra, I think. One house that we had
Were you
had
sure
one.
It wasn't when you were living in Canada?
No, I'm pretty sure we had one in Australia, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, the garbage disposals in Australia spin the other way. How crazy is that?
Do they?
Yeah, down under.
And it just went down the sink. Like, it just goes down a pipe. Yeah, so you're putting, like...
Just like, whatever.
Anyway, here's some, like, lemons and the scraps of, like, this old pasta.
Yeah.
And then you go... And then it just goes down the sink.
And I guess it goes into the sewers.
I guess it's just, like, pooping. It
goes in with all the poop.
Yeah. I guess that's
okay.
It goes
to some sewage place and then turns into methane that goes into the atmosphere.
I don't know if it does that anywhere.
Not if you feed it to chickens.
But what about What about all the shit the chickens make?
But they don't fart. And yeah, I don't think they produce methane.
But doesn't there...
Because of the cloaca.
The cloaca.
The cloaca.
Yeah, right.
This is what the cloaca does.
Okay.
Sex.
Yeah.
Pissing. Pooping. Doesn't fart, as far as I'm aware.
Is that why seagulls can explode if you give them certain things?
Probably.
Yeah, because they can't let out gas.
That's the beauty of the cloaca. Tell you, when we're all living under that bubble, we are going to be combining our entire nether genitalia region into one outlet. And
also, like the whole group has one hole.
Not one. No, not a communal one. Just,
yeah, right.
Just your own individual stuff is all going
to
be.
But couldn't put you, together. Instead of all that, you know, instead of all that running out to an outhouse in the cold emptiness of space?
Yep.
By the way, I think you'll see space. You'll see stars clearer than you've ever seen.
It'll be so beautiful when you're out there trying not to die.
Yeah. And it'll get cold, right? Because the Earth won't hold the heat as well.
Yeah, and that'll help you focus.
Yeah. But maybe if instead of all, you know, farting on the outside and whatever outside the bubble or outside.
Farting
of
the outside. Text George.
Farting outside the carport.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And you'll... what if you just got tube a bit? Like you got all this loose tube? Because Let's say your dad had this plan to kind of create this mini maple farm on your property.
Okay.
Right. And so some maple, I guess, I don't know if they're orchards or forests, instead of having, like, you know, when you tap them for maple syrup.
Yeah.
He realized we really don't have the climate for actual maple syrup production here in Australia. So it was a huge failure. But a lot of maple production, you know, you just kind of tap a tap into the tree, and then sap comes out. You have a little bucket hanging underneath, and sap collects in the bucket, right?
Yeah.
But other places that are a little bit more advanced just have tubes going from the tap to where you
Is
want
that
it
really
to go.
What it's like?
Yeah.
Was that the basis for the movie The Matrix? Like, are we all like...
I think so.
Maple trees in that scenario? Do they have like a big sort of... metal sort of nozzle thing that you can plug in? Can the trees learn kung fu real quick?
We didn't try.
Yeah.
I haven't tried. And I think maybe...
you get sap out of it, but I think if you push some kung fu back up the pipe, it would go into the tree and it would learn
it
real
there's a
quick.
Chance that's in there, like it's a maple one way and sort of fiber optic the other way.
Yeah.
And anyway, so he's got all this kind of loose pipe left around the car.
So this is just the backstory for the pipe.
Yeah. This is why he's got the pipe. Anyway, everybody just sort of pushes the pipe up their anus.
Yes.
And then just lets it dangle outside of the carport so that you don't even have to fart. It'll come out automatically. I mean, you'll spend a lot of time kind of fiddling with the pipes. It'll kind of start sliding out and things like that. You'll have to keep... You'll probably have to clench a lot. But you're only there for a couple of days until the air runs out.
Yeah. So don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Far out. A lot happened in a short space of time in those 3 days. But, hey, we're all acting... It's going to be an action-packed 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you actually do?
I love that...
I don't think it will be action-packed.
I love that on this podcast...
Yeah.
People tuning into this podcast, they can rest easy and rest assured that they know when they tune into this podcast, they're always going to get a backstory for the pipe. We're never just going to bring up a pipe.
Yeah. Okay. Well, why is there all this plastic piping?
Why is there
around?
All this pipe? You know, you listen to other podcasts, you're like, where did all that pipe come from? Not on the Two in the Think Tank podcast. Every pipe, 1-to-1 ratio. Backstory to pipe.
This American pipe. Every pipe has a story.
Where's all this pipe coming from?
Wait a second.
Hang on.
I mean, where are you storing the pipe in the carport? I guess there's kind of.
I love that you keep calling it a carport. The carport is the worst possible explanation for what it is that you're talking about.
No, carport.
That we're all living in.
Well, not for very long. There's just
a... It's not a carport. You know, a carport very rarely has sides.
I know. This one doesn't have sides.
So there's no sides of the thing that we're all living in?
We're just... No, yeah. We're just... We've just got the air bubble at the top of the carport.
But is it a huge bubble that's over all of a city or something like that?
No, it's just... You're the...
Well, it's just like two or three people under a carport?
Yeah, from the house.
Oh, we have been on different pages of very different books, my friend.
Early on, I did think of a mass one, where there was kind of maybe like one of those sort of big festival.
And then
tents.
You started calling it a carport for some reason. I tried to go with it.
I was changing a little bit because I mean a lot of the problem solving ends up coming down to the local.
Of where that carport came from.
Carport. The dad, it came with the house. That's why he got it.
Okay.
And he stores a lot of his pipes from his failed maple syrup venture up in the sort of the attic-y part where the air bubble is. Anyway, when the atmosphere started fading away very quickly, he had actually just locked himself out of the house.
Mm.
And so he couldn't get back in, which is probably where there would be a bigger air bubble.
Sure, would have made a lot more sense.
Yeah.
But no pipe in there.
And then when he did... realized that, like, he was like, oh shit, we gotta get back in the house. He went and broke the skylight.
Yeah.
Right? He broke the skylight to get back into the house. And then he realized right after he got back into the house, that's where all the air is now gonna escape through this. So the carport's last option.
Al.
Yeah.
You tied up all the loose ends.
Yeah, great. Now, what would you do? Three people, right? It's you. One of your brothers.
Yep.
And your partner.
Great.
Right?
Thank you.
Standing up.
So all my children are dead. Great.
No, they're with your parents.
All I ask is that they outlast me by a couple of hours. So I have a legacy, you know? I want to leave something behind.
And so they're with your parents and they've made it to the big bubble.
Oh, they made it to the big bubble.
Yeah.
That's great.
They've
got days.
You're waiting it out in the carport, see if maybe this whole no atmosphere thing blows over. But blowing over, of course,
is the last thing we want.
Is the huge problem that's happening. With the solar wind blowing over all the
solar.
Air. Solar. So it's
Do you think it's George?
Yeah, it's your brother George.
I wonder if he'll come up with a band name before it's
over?
Before it ends.
I mean,
I would get one out of him.
He would have to, or else it's all you're going to talk about.
I know.
Until the very end.
We've got to talk about something.
Yeah.
That and the pipes.
And you guys are all standing on sort of little steps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to just kind of get your heads closer to the air.
Yep.
Because, you know, you're not tall enough to kind of get your head more in the attic area. Now, what do you do over that time? You got 2 days. You don't realize you've got 2 days, but you know you can't leave because you tried and you couldn't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? What do you talk about? Like, because you can't You can't sort of consummate your relationship with your partner.
No, my brother's there. It would be very awkward.
It's not how you want to.
By the way, we have already consummated our relationship.
No, you can't. You can't do that anymore.
Okay.
So it's not, you don't get to consummate every time you do it.
Okay.
It's consummating a one time thing.
I think it's
thing.
The one time.
Yeah, right.
I could be wrong.
Reconsummate.
We come up with a product. It's called the Consume Mate, right? And what it is mm-hmm. a little thing. It's like a garbage disposal. You just put it in front of your mouth.
Yeah.
Right? And you just plow food into it and spins around, chops it all up, and then you don't have to do any chewing. Oh, the Consume Mate. And its name is a great pun on having first-time sex with your partner.
Well, I guess you could have, and you get to have sex with that object once.
Yeah, you sure do.
Yeah.
Because you put anything into it, it's over for
it
you.
Chops it up into rings. Rings that you should have got before you consummated.
Yes. Wow. Oh, I've never been further out on a limb.
I'm going to write down the consummate.
Alistair, when we came into this podcast booth, I turned on the air conditioning for a little bit and the temperature got real nice, real quick. And then I got cocky, switched off the air conditioner,
mm-hmm.
and it's got way too hot again. Don't you reckon? It's quite uncomfortable. Are you uncomfortable?
Hugely.
Yeah, great.
Which normally we've always been in this room.
Yeah, and we've always been uncomfortable.
But now
we have the gift of something to compare it to.
Yeah.
Dissatisfaction. We know things could have been better and we have made bad choices.
With the consummate.
Yeah, are you writing that down?
Yeah. It's a product. Great. Do you have to take all your teeth out so that it fits in your mouth?
No. I think it just sort of goes like around your lips. Like you probably stretch your lips around it and then put an elastic band around to like hold the lips. Mm.
But don't you think it would work better? Because like you got to keep your mouth open and then food is going to come in sort of. I guess you still have to chew it, don't you? Or can it completely mush it up?
I think it completely mushes it. Maybe it even adds in some water or something so you don't need saliva.
Yeah, great. And so you wouldn't need teeth.
You don't need teeth, sure, but you don't want, like, it's quite ugly to not have teeth.
I know, but you're going to have a nice fan in front of your mouth.
Yeah.
And like a circular, because it would be annoying having to take it down and put it back up and things like that and have people look at you.
Yeah, it'll be there at all times, absolutely.
And so that way you can just talk through it like
talk
this.
Through a fan at all times, which is like quite a funny kind of effect.
It's a really cool effect. It makes you sound like a robot or something.
It makes you sound like a robot.
I'm going to have another sandwich.
Alistair's doing great. Doing this really well. They shut down the mothership.
No.
Did I do the sound okay?
No, you did it good.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I just wanted to do it because it's a fun sound to do.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a sound that comes from something that's been vibrating quite quickly that then slows down quite quickly.
I'm going to make a machine and it's going to be the startup noise. I don't know what the machine is yet.
Whoa.
But all I know is that that's the sound it makes when it starts up.
Is it going to be through a speaker or is it going to be through an actual moving thing?
Alistair, I don't know what the machine is yet, so I can't tell you. I just know it's going to make the sound. I don't know how it's going to make the sound. Maybe it'll be organic. Maybe it'll have a mouth.
Oh. It's going to be a machine with a mouth.
Yeah.
I like this, Andy.
Yeah, thanks.
So it's going to be like kind of like the opposite of the Consume Mate.
Yes.
Which is an object that you put there instead of your mouth.
It goes in front of your mouth.
And so maybe...
And that's the only bit that's machine.
Could it be a machine that has a mouth that you put a human in front of it?
Well, does it eat your shit then? Is that what's happening?
Could be a machine that you get to eat your shit.
Because the one thing that toilets don't do is they don't chew, do they?
No, they don't.
They don't chew.
No.
Do you think we could invent a chewing toilet?
Absolutely, Andy. Something that processes it on the spot, you know? The excremate.
Excremate.
I mean, there it could just be the consummate.
Yes.
And you just hold it on the other side.
Perfect.
Because then it just chops it up.
Chops it up.
Squirts a bit of water in there.
Yes. Softens it.
Softens it. And then I guess it kind of, you just spread it over land.
Great. Straight onto the land. Because that's always when you see your shit on the ground, the thing that you think is, I wish this was a bit sloppier and more spread out. You know? I know that's what I hope for when I'm picking up my dog's poo.
Mm. Well, no one's going to be picking it up.
That's it. Yeah. There's no picking this one up.
It's for the... Because, I mean, imagine that. It's for the poop you don't want to pick up. So you hold it on your, in front of your dog's butt. And it spreads it out. Thin enough that people won't recognize it immediately.
Or even if they did see it, they'd say... Well, there's no way you could pick that up.
Yeah, there's no way.
So there's no responsibility to pick it up. No one could argue that you should be picking that up because it's not possible.
Exactly. So it's part of the ConsumMate ad. And then he goes, and now including ConsumMate for your dog's ass.
I think the excremate is the excremate.
I mean the excremate.
It's exactly the same product. We don't acknowledge that it's exactly the same product. But it clearly is exactly the same product in the end, just with like a different sticker or maybe a slightly different cover or something. And we even describe all the things in it in exactly the same way. The high-speed blades.
Well, he couldn't have been expected to pick that up.
With the best will in the world, I don't think there's a man alive who could have picked that up. These are all the testimonials of people who are passing by.
I wish I could have yelled at him. There's not a man alive with the will in his mind to pick... In his body to pick a thing like that up.
All right, I think we've got enough sketches, right? Yeah.
You think we've got to go to the three words?
I think we've got to go to three words. Take us to three words, though.
Well, Andy?
We get three words every episode from a listener.
Yep.
Who chips in.
A Patreon contributor.
We've had a few new ones jump on the train
we
recently.
We are so thankful of all the contributors. Thank you to everybody who's recently joined up. We had a bunch of $8 join up. We had another $3 join up.
But any dollar, we love it.
We had...
we've had some other people review us on iTunes.
It's been beautiful.
We've been feeling a lot of, like... You've been giving us a lot.
You guys have been supporting us, not just through your listening, but also through your giving in endless ways, and we thank you.
And a lot of great interaction on social media as well. Thank you for that as well, and everything's important.
Everything is important. And somebody, God damn it, bought a shirt. They asked for this. They asked for this, and I very quickly mocked up an accordion to you shirt.
From the last episode with your, like, one of the worst sketch ideas of all time.
Yeah.
And somebody said they wanted an accordion to you t-shirt.
It was Rory.
And now we put it online and it has been bought.
Yes. Wait. Well, which is a good time. It was Rory M. Spence, who also has the Dog Hair Network podcast that I have appeared on, which you can go and check out. But also...
What were you talking about on the podcast?
Every episode they do he does a topic and the person just talks. And I talked about the... who's the guy who wrote Make It Rick and Morty?
Dan Harmon.
The Dan Harmon story circle.
Fantastic.
I talked about that. And
did
also,
you know what his name was when you talked about it on the podcast?
Yeah, at the time I did. I was doing a lot of research.
Yeah.
And then I also did an episode with him where they talked about Billy Connolly.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. And Rory M. Spence asked, I want one of these t-shirts, one of these accordion to you t-shirts. And so I just quickly mocked one up in, I can't remember if it was Word or Paint.
All the best t-shirts are made in Word.
And I did it in Comic Sans. I said, is this font okay? He said, that's exactly how I pictured it. And then, anyway, I uploaded it and he bought it.
Rory, you're a genius and you're a stronger man than...
A genius psychopath.
I know.
Yeah. So thank you for all of your support.
Mm.
You insane psychos. But then today we have three words from our Patreon supporter, Henry Smith.
Thank you, Henry Smith.
Thank you, Henry Smith.
And thanks for giving us just a name that we can just you know.
We can really work with.
We can really work with, yeah.
You know, your parents Your parents gave you that name as a gift to everyone else.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like a holiday.
It's not spectacular for you, but it's spectacular for everyone who wants to try and pronounce it, who is in the English-speaking world.
It's an absolute entry-level pronunciation name.
Yeah.
I could probably just let my mouth do all the work and switch off my brain, just autopilot take over and say your name. Mm-hmm. And it would have a great time.
You know, and also it's a gift for you.
It's relaxed. Just this, just talking about it has just made me so relaxed.
Yeah. It's like listening to classical music. That's the kind of name you have.
Yeah. Okay, Google, just say the word Henry Smith to me for 50 minutes.
Yeah.
That's what I'll be saying now when the kids are starting to stress me out.
If Mozart had been a bigger genius.
Yes.
His music would have just been 50 minutes of saying Henry Smith. Henry Smith. Henry Smith.
Alistair, there's Henry a podcast Smith. In this.
Henry Smith.
I'm really excited for your new podcast, by the way, Alistair. It's getting real close, isn't it?
We're getting really close. I'm probably within a week of launching.
Just got to correct some typos new, in the, look, in the I, logo been corrected. That you didn't notice.
Yeah, I've got a new podcast coming out called Shusher Guided Meditations, and they're like 10... 20-minute meditations that I guide.
Mm. And I've listened to them, and they're incredibly hilarious and also disturbingly relaxing.
I'm surprised. I've even used it on myself, and I've been relaxed by my own voice. So, but they're also silly.
Yeah, they're very funny.
Anyway, we'll see.
Anyway, Henry Smith has three words for us. Why can we never get to the words?
I know.
Why is this the one part of the podcast where we just can't?
Because we're so thankful. It's because of all our years watching Oprah. She taught us to appreciate the people in our lives.
Like Henry.
Like Henry Smith. Henry Smith.
Henry Smith.
Henry Smith. Henry Smith. So Henry Smith's three words are pheasant, brick, intrigue.
Pheasant, brick, intrigue.
Mm-hmm.
Have we already used these words?
Have we?
I mean, I don't know, because I feel like we talked about bricking squid on an episode.
Yeah.
Possibly dropping bricks on squid.
There's a chance we've
done
this.
Possibly throwing bricks at pheasants or something like that. But hey.
There is a chance that we've done this before.
I'm sorry. You asked me before if I'd heard the name. And
yeah.
I think the thing about Henry Smith as a name is that it washes over you like a warm bath. And it... I didn't register. We might have already talked about this. Hey, but I'm really happy to go with these words again.
Yeah, let's just do
and,
it.
And just do it, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I came up with a great name for a chicken coop the other day.
Yeah.
Cluckingham Palace.
That's really good.
Like, I don't know if anyone has a chicken coop out there,
mm-hmm.
but I will... You're welcome to that.
If anybody has a chicken coop or their brother has a chicken coop but he can't manage to name their chicken coop.
Could you email in? We've got some good names, by the way, for George's band at
okay.
the end of the podcast. I'm really excited to get to them.
Well, possibly for the second time, let's come up with a sketch for Pheasant Brick Intrigue.
I like one of the best kinds of intrigue is obviously palace intrigue.
Palace intrigue? Well, I don't know what that
what
is.
What made me think of Buckingham.
Yeah,
Cluckingham Palace. Just because palace intrigue is like all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes of the royals,
mm-hmm.
right? Because your big fear, Alistair, is making an enemy of someone with a lot of time on their hands.
A lot of free time.
Basically, like someone who's sort of unemployed or whatever,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they've got so much time to mess with you.
Yeah.
Well, the royals are basically that, but with huge resources and a lot of respect.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Like, imagine making an enemy of someone in the palace. You yeah. are in so much trouble. I guess the one thing we have on our side is that they're being watched constantly.
That's true. It's very hard for them to get out and about.
And maybe in that way, the paparazzi is really a good thing. Like, it seems horrible that they're hounding the royals constantly.
Yeah.
But maybe that's what we just... Maybe that's just the level of surveillance that they need to just not be murdering. Because historically, the royals have been...
Murdering.
Pretty bloodthirsty, haven't they?
I think so.
Killing each other and that sort of thing.
Mm.
And taking one another's crowns and
a lot of free time.
Thrones, etc.
Yeah.
I think the one difference between us and the Game of Thrones universe...
Is the Daily Mail.
Is the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
They are all that stands between us and, you know, Joffrey.
I mean, I like this.
Is that anything?
Is this a sketch?
I think it's a sketch. I think it's a sketch that we need, you know, protection from these people.
Yeah.
Because they are like a social experiment. Let's give somebody a lot of free time and a huge amount of money and a lot of pressure to not crack.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure to not give in to the pressure. That's basically the pressure that they're under.
So let's say it's a film or a short film or a sketch.
Mm-hmm. Hey, where a royal, now we're in the right territory.
A royal, possibly a sort of middle-aged one.
Yep.
You know, what like a brother to Charles.
Yeah.
What's one of those brothers?
Andrew?
Andrew, right? Someone wrongs him, right? So let's say Andrew has quite a bit of pipe that he keeps quite neatly. Now he got this pipe from sort of a part of Bunnings, which had just recently attempted to launch in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
But it's been a huge failure. But the one person who was a big fan of it...
They should have called it Bunningham Palace.
They should have called it Bunningham Palace. That would have helped a lot. Well, the one person who really liked it, because there was nobody there, was Andrew. But there was one other person there, and he messed with his pipes and things like that. And anyway, Andrew's just... Because he doesn't interact with a lot of commoners, he just took a particular dislike to this person.
Yep.
Somehow he got his information. He dropped his license or something like that.
Yep.
He started stalking him online, started realizing he just wants to hurt this person. But then in order to be able to get out to go and hurt this person, he
has to Princess Jasmine that shit.
Yeah, he has to like get out of there without the paparazzi following him. Maybe also the paparazzi witnessed the little confrontation where they ran into each other, you know? So then people will be like, whoa. Eyes are on him. Not that they would think that this is going to lead to, you know, Prince Andrew, you know, murdering or sort of trying
or
to...
Pipe strangling,
exactly. But there's a funness.
I think it's a really, really interesting concept. I think we haven't seen a feature film that is like this. Whenever it's about royals, it's always about someone being very excited to marry somebody else, pretty much.
Yeah.
But I want a royal. I want like a single royal.
Yeah.
They don't even have a relationship to occupy their time.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you know, someone who has everything and now they have an enemy, right?
Yeah.
And they can dedicate all their time.
He's got nothing else to do.
But it's so hard for them to do it because they're being constantly watched.
How's he going to get out? How's he going to get out of there?
Yeah.
He has to dress as like one of those soldiers.
We think that those soldiers who are there all the time are there to stop us getting in.
Mm-hmm.
We don't realize they're there to stop them from getting out.
Mm-hmm. Because they're so murderous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
maybe the person calls him a twat and he's just never had that.
Yeah.
I doubt that they've never had that, but a lot of the people who go and see them are love them.
They do seem to be pretty sycophantic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty unpleasant.
What do you think he would do? Do you think he would like just try to make sure it's scare him, or do you think he would really try to hurt that person?
What? Would he try and hurt them? Yeah. I think it escalates and I think he ends up killing somebody.
Maybe he'd just like, you know, he'd get out one day and just go and scope out this person's house and see where
it is. It could start out super petty as well, because it's also funny to see a royal doing really petty things.
Yeah. Pooping in a bag.
And
putting it in the mailbox. There you go. Petty royal. It's enemy with free time. That's the worst thing you can get. Hopefully they have paparazzi around them stopping them.
You hope. You just hope. Anyway, that's a sketch idea.
Thank you.
Because the bricks are the on sale at Bunnings.
Yep.
And
the intrigue.
Well, that's
us being interested in this idea.
and the pheasant
is something the royals hunt.
And also rhymes with peasant.
Yes.
How they regard us.
Mm-hmm.
And pleasant, which is what they're not being in this scenario.
That's right. And pleasant, which is what the experience of watching this sketch will be.
Yeah. Intriguing pleasantness.
Mm.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I feel like like my brain was working pretty slowly today.
It's okay, Andy. We've.
I think it's the heat. Next time, I'm going to crank that air conditioning down so low, and I am going to be overclocking this bitch. So you better watch out. Mm-hmm. All right.
Look, I still think it was we had some things come out. I didn't tell you what it was.
Yeah, take us through it.
This is a PhD we're going to do. It's the something to nothing ratio.
Yep.
Right, and it's going to be a short PhD, and then a lot of it, the rest of it is going to be us explaining why it's so short.
Exactly.
Yeah. And also, this is going to be a unifying universal theory. Then we've got the rushed climate change solution. We're going to realize it's going to become very obvious very quick.
Yeah.
Things are going to get very hot and catastrophic, and we're going to realize we have to do something about climate change by the next day. And we're going to pack a plane full of stuff, and we're going to figure out what we're going to do with it once we get up there.
Once we're in the air.
Yeah. Then we've also got the... I don't think I've written this down, but we also have the Earth has had its atmosphere stripped away.
What, we're all living in a carport.
Yep.
That idea doesn't quite have a... Apart from the fact that we're all living in a carport, for me, didn't quite have a thing to it. You know, it doesn't, something for me to hold on to with my
mind.
Yeah.
No, I know, but... There's something there.
There's something there.
This is going to turn into something big. I think it's pipe. It's big. It's pipe.
Yep.
I mean, we know why the pipe's there, and I think it feels like a shame to waste that backstory.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I think it feels like it's going to be relevant later, maybe when they're pushing the pipe up their butt. Then we've got the death experience that you can pay for.
Yeah, it's just theme
sort
park.
Of like a. Yeah, it's like a theme park, sort of like a.
It's an escape room.
Yeah.
But you're escaping from this the mortal coil.
Yeah. Then we got the garbage bag smell that complements the smell of garbage. But but really what that's about is giving the gift of garbage bags, which are the greatest gift that you can give to somebody so they can throw away all the other gifts they've got. Then we have the minimalist perfect sketch, which is a bunch of minimalists saying stuff about minimalism and why they live that way.
Yep.
And then saying that minimalists, you are the garbage filling up your life. That's why you don't need any other stuff.
It's the one thing you can't throw away.
Yeah, your life is already full. Touch yourself. Do you feel any joy? Then we've got the consummate, which is a product.
Rotating blades that you just put in front of your tongue.
Yeah, in front of your mouth, and then it shoots all the chewed up food into your mouth. Yep. And you can basically just swallow.
Yeah, and then you've got the excremate.
The excremate, which does the same thing, but the other way out. And it's for your dog's butt. And it's so that you don't have to pick up the excrement. So it chops it up and spreads it thin enough that you couldn't possibly be expected to pick it
up. Sure, it makes it worse for everybody. But you've got the perfect excuse to not fulfill the social contract.
Yep.
The one part of the social contract that still has any meaning, and we chewed it up and sprayed it all over the footpath.
That's right. And then we have the royals as the enemy with free time.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
Really interesting, really compelling.
Yeah, great.
We'll do a little song. It's time to talk band names. This is the George's band name segment, right? Yep. We've had some great contact from people. Now, heads up, we have more updates on the Clayfish saga.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to get to that today. They'll have to wait until the next episode because we've just got a couple of great names from, where is it? David. Okay. David Whittaker. Send us some top-notch
These
band
are for
names.
George.
Yeah, for George. For George's band, the producer of the podcast who can't come up with a name for his band. He says, hey, you crazy boys, I'd like to pitch Craxton Sledge as a band name.
Mm.
I work in customer services, and this was a customer's name. In my opinion, it sounds badass as heck.
Craxton Sledge.
Craxton Sledge.
That's amazing. How do you spell Craxton?
C-R-A-X-T-O-N.
Whoa.
I'm pretty sure all the best band names have an X in them.
I might name a child Craxton.
Sure.
And if it's a boy, Mark.
And he has another one. He says, also ghost locum, as in a visiting medical practitioner who is either actually a restless spirit or just very good at covering their tracks. Ghost Locum. I love both of these names.
Something that would be good at covering its tracks would be like a thing with a tail.
Yeah, sort of sweep them, like one of those sweepy dogs.
Kangaroo, maybe, if they walked. But maybe they don't want to cover their tracks. Because they don't walk.
Anyway, David, I think those are both rock-solid names. He says, hope these are of some use. Keep up the excellent work. So,
thank you so much.
George, you would be lucky to have either of those band names, I reckon.
Craxton Sledge?
Craxton Sledge. Ghost Locum.
Mm-hmm.
You've got at least an album name out of those two.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Is that the ones we're going all the ones we're going to do
today?
That's
all we're going to do today.
Thank you so much for listening. We're at Two in Tank. I'm at Alistair TB.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
You can review us on iTunes.
We'd like that a lot.
And support us on Patreon if you want.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much to everybody. Take care of yourselves. Have a wonderful life. We will see you another time. And we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.